This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Friday Sports Talk rolling on here on WWL. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long hanging out, just waiting to find out when LSU baseball will be playing this evening. Wasn't good news, gentlemen. Just saw it tweeted out from Cokie Riley, who will be joining us after the first break. Writer for NOLA.com, Times-Picayune, The Advocate, saying that the tarp was put back on the field at Alec Box Stadium, signaling we're not anywhere close to resuming action, getting action underway at the box.
Nope.
Drama.
Reminds me of that fun trip we took out to Baton Rouge last year where we sat in the stands, stared at some lightning off in the distance for a few hours, and then drove on home.
But it was some good team bonding, and we enjoyed the burgers there at the box and some
great
free
time.
Beverages.
Very, very comfortable seats.
Yeah.
No, it's this time of year, man, it's like, I understand why LSU wants to host regionals. Like, you there's no alternative. You want the regional, but like, gosh, it's just always this, it feels like.
I also saw that Clemson's dealing with the weather delay over there, and I'm sure a bunch of other teams in our region are dealing with the same issues. But yeah, it's a nightmare scenario when you come to the biggest moments for these teams as the NCAA tournament gets underway and teams trying to, you know, get everything set in their lineups, their pitching rotations for that hopeful trip to Omaha, and this just seems to be playing nightmare scenarios early on.
Well, here's the thing. It's not really a nightmare scenario for LSU, because what they're going to end up getting out of this is a night game. It's a nightmare scenario for the two teams that have to play next.
55 minutes after the
conclusion. Particularly, whatever team loses that game.
Because they got to turn around tomorrow.
They got to play in the loser's bracket against whatever team got a good night's rest against most likely Little Rock. So,
yeah, and looking at things, we are your home for LSU baseball here on WWL. Waiting for game one starting up between the Little Rock Trojans and the NCAA Baton Rouge Regional. That's presented by Jerry Lane Cadillac, Louisiana Dental Center, Hooters, and Cummins. The other teams in this double elimination tournament are Dallas Baptist and Rhode Island. So if LSU wins today, tomorrow's game, they'll play the winner of the Rhode Island Dallas Baptist game. A pregame 4:30, first pitch 5 o'clock. Like Jeff was mentioning, if the Tigers lose, they'll play the loser of tonight's late game. And that's a pregame of 12:30, first pitch at 1 p.m. A very tight turnaround. I always joke with you when you first came aboard here on WWL, initiated into the LSU baseball regional at Oregon?
It was in Corvallis.
Okay, Corvallis. Yes.
Well, no, actually, I don't think it was in Corvallis. I think it was in Eugene.
I thought it was Oregon.
They're both Oregon.
Right, okay.
One is Oregon State and one is Oregon proper. And I believe it was Eugene. That was Palminteri's final year. Because they did go to Corvallis. I just don't think it was that year. Either way.
You had just started with us, and it was just
they were getting like 11 p.m. start times. With no rain delays.
Our time.
There was no rain delay. It was just an 11 p.m. start time for a baseball game. Ugh. Yeah,
the 2 a.m. The good old days.
2 a.m. watching those games. Loved it. Loved every second of it.
Hopefully we don't get something like that tonight at the box. Maybe they can get something going. We'll find that eventually. But like I mentioned, the tarp being put on the field doesn't signal anything happening soon.
No, I think they're going to get some rain around 6. I think they're probably hopeful to start around 7. I mean, the tarp, they get those tarps on and off pretty quick. They're good at it. They do it a lot. But no, I mean, I would guess this. I would guess this game goes off around 7, and LSU gets a kind of a normal start time. Here's the thing, like, LSU kind of would have preferred to play at night anyway. Like, they're just kind of waiting around. Like, this is really not going to mess with them that much. What they want to avoid is a situation where they start a game, they play two innings, they throw Anthony Ianson out there, and then the rain comes in,
right.
There's an hour delay, and you don't really want to send him back in there, and so you've effectively one of your top starters. They don't want to do that. So that's why we're here.
Guess we should have got some 10 a.m. baseball today is what this looks like.
I do wonder why they don't start games earlier. Just for this purpose alone, so that if you do end up having to push stuff back, it's not messing up the entire back end. But, hey, you know.
So, yeah, right now we're waiting for LSU baseball to find out there's time against Little Rock and poor Rhode Island Dallas Baptist just sitting there going, when the heck are we going to play tonight in Baton Rouge?
The real DBU.
The real DBU, right.
The real DBU. Yeah, I don't know. Good luck.
We'll keep you updated. We'll be on at least until 7 o'clock. We'll see if there's any updates before then on LSU baseball. But we were talking a lot about Saints OTAs going on as well. And Charlie and I had this discussion the other day, Jeff, and we were kind of talking in the break, that ESPN NFL FPI ranking that was put out on Wednesday, I believe, has the Saints all the way at the bottom of their rankings, number 32 in the NFL, and I'm not expecting this there to be glowing reviews of this black and gold squad right now. The uncertainty at quarterback, the new new head coach in town, but for me to be ranked last in the NFL just seemed wrong, and I don't know if that's maybe my bias there, but I feel like the Saints are above the Titans, Browns, and Jets, at least.
Well, so here's the thing. It's never good to be in the argument where you're like, we're not the worst. We're like third from the worst.
Right.
That's not where you want to be as a team. Whether you are 28th or 32nd doesn't really matter. What I will say is the Football Power Index is ESPN's kind of ranking system. It's really not decision. It's not subjective. It's analytical. It's data points that they plug in. So it's not like someone sitting there saying, like, I don't like the Saints. But it is very quarterback-driven.
Yes, I feel like Derek Carr retiring had a huge effect on this.
If Derek Carr was still the quarterback, they would probably be
above the Jets.
A few slots higher. I don't know how much higher, but that's really the difference, right? You look at the Giants, and they have Russell Wilson, so that's gonna buoy them a little bit. The Jets have Justin Fields, which is going to buoy them a little bit,
whoopity-doo.
Right? And so the Saints are sitting there with Spencer Rattler, a guy who went 0-6 last year because it's results-based,
and
the results were bad. Or Tyler Shuck, who is the presumptive starter in the Football Power Index, who is a second-round pick with not a ton of accolades to kind of bump up that. And you look at the Titans, who are 31st, they get a little more credit in the Football Power Index because Cam Ward was the number one overall pick, so he's going to be a little more baked in there. So, like, in the sense that, yes, I don't think the Saints are the worst team in the NFL. In this instance, it's really just the data points that are leading you there. The interesting thing about it is if you look at it, they also have the odds for the number one overall pick, and despite being the 32nd team in the NFL in their rankings, the Saints have like the fourth best odds to get the number one overall
pick.
Make
it make sense to me, Jeff.
Well, the Saints play a fourth place schedule, so they're going to have a lot of easy games, and they play in the easiest division in football, right? So they'll play the Panthers twice. They'll run into a win or two. They'll play the Falcons. They'll probably sweep them. But yeah, I mean, one team is 11%, the Saints are 10%, right? So it's right there, but it's just kind of interesting how the data works out. All that is to say, like, I have seen power rankings with the Saints at 32nd. So some people out there subjectively are putting the Saints there. And it's really just like, you know, people aren't going crazy with power rankings. It's all just, you know, path of least resistance, right? No one's going out on a limb for the Saints right now and saying, I think they could be sneaky good. No, they're saying, oh, it's a team with a first-year head coach who's never done the job before. It's an aging roster. They didn't win games last year. The quarterbacks are a massive question mark, regardless of who it is. I don't believe in the rookie they drafted. I mean, like, that's what people are going to look at it and say, like, yeah, that's one of the worst teams in the NFL. And here's the thing. We can sit here and argue over whether they are the 32nd of 32nd. They're in the bottom third. There's no question they're in the bottom third, at least based on all the information we've available. So, you know, we're kind of splitting hairs.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I just, I guess, was so jarring to see it's this team
you never want
all the way at the bottom, the last of the last.
I don't care what data set you're looking at, whether it's somebody, some idiot's opinion out in you know, Lincoln, Nebraska, or, you know, an actual analytically driven chart. You don't want to be last. No one wants to be last.
It's like that Michael Jordan meme, too, and it's like, and I took that personally.
Yeah, right. Like, if you were 30th, you wouldn't feel a lot better about yourself, but you at least wouldn't be last.
Right.
So that's kind of where you are. So, but that's, I mean, that's where the Saints have to, I mean, there's a reason the Saints didn't get any primetime games, right? Because you're lumped into that conversation with the Titans and the Browns and who's getting the number one overall pick.
You mentioned with the NFC South, Buccaneers ranked 14th in this power index. Then you had the Atlanta Falcons coming in 26th,
right.
The Carolina Panthers 28th, and then the Saints 32. Not much love for the South.
It reminds me of when Colin Saunders was arguing with Lonnie Johnson on Twitter after that Week 9 game, and they're like, bro, you were arguing with me that you are not the worst in the NFL. Maybe sit this one out. And that's kind of how I feel about it.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more sports talk. And we'll check in at Alec Box Stadium. Cokie Riley, beat writer for the Times-Picayune and Advocate, will join us, giving us a little scene setter of what's going on over there, how the rain's coming down, and any hope of that tarp coming off the field anytime soon. So taking a break on sports talk. Be back with more right here on WWL after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
We are back here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller with Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, as we're trying to prepare for LSU baseball start time. We still have no answers yet, but we're going to get one of the guys that's sitting tight at Alec Box Stadium right now, and Koki Riley, the beat writer for NOLA.com, Times Picayune, and The Advocate. Koki, how are things going over there, man?
Things are humid, a little more wet, and people are losing their patience. So that's kind of the vibe right now.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, we got 2 o'clock start time pushed back to 5, and right now we're just on this holding pattern. I, you know, kind of related it to being stuck in an airplane on the tarmac. You just don't know when you're going to go anywhere. I saw you put out earlier on Twitter the fact that they did put the tarp back on the field. What is the, you know, the rain coming down right now? Is it hard? Does it look like we're going to be through that cell, I guess, going through the area anytime soon?
Yeah, so it looks like there's going to be at least there's some rain in the forecast for the next couple of hours. So I don't think we're going to start this thing until maybe 7-8 o'clock. So I think we just have to, I mean, it looks like they're not willing to play this game in the rain.
Right.
And it's raining a bit, but it's not terribly hard right now. And it's actually calmed down a little bit lately. Than when I first got the phone, actually. So, yeah, but the tarp's still on the field, and there's still no, like, until we get a first pitch time, the players have to warm up and stuff like that, too. So, that's another, whenever you think it's going to clear up, you need another, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of just the guys warming up before you actually get the first pitch in. So, my guess is it's not going to start before 7. And I would be surprised if it started before 8 at this point.
Yeah, so, you know, how much of this do you think is we don't want to start this game and then have it delayed? Because it does seem odd that, you know, like you tweeted, like they're playing, the high school team is playing next door. So, like, it's not a lightning thing, or they wouldn't be out there. So is that what we're looking at, is you don't want to, like, they don't want to start this thing and then have to potentially delay it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is right now. And I really don't think they want to start this and then delay it. I mean, like, I actually just came out with a story on theadvocate.com that really details LSU's thinking when it comes to these rain delays and how they decide to start these games, stop these games, all that sort of, like, what are the priorities in getting a game in? And one of the main takeaways I have from the piece is that they're not shy in saying that they don't want to, start a game that they know or they probably think will be delayed. They don't want to start it and then have to stop it. Like, that's a major, major goal that they have. And keeping the integrity of the game, letting the players determine the outcome, not the weather. And I think that's exactly what we've seen today. There have been threats of lightning, and there actually has been some lightning within 8 mile radius. That was hours ago, and now there's been a tiny bit of rain. But you think that, okay, you can just play through a lot of that stuff. Well, the lightning you can't play through, and one, that's for one, and for two, and secondly, like, it's the risk of lightning and the risk of a lot of rain was enough for them. It was scared them off enough to, you know, just to not start this game in the first place. So here we are at 5:31, and doesn't look like this game's going to start anytime in the near future.
Koki, is there any kind of, you know, curfew rules when it comes to NCAA regionals? Because I'm not so much concerned with the Tigers in that match for the curfew purposes, but for the second game that's supposed to start 55 minutes after this one ends.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to have to do some digging into that. But, yeah, like, the SEC policies, you got to start the game before 10.
Right.
But for the NCAAs, not 100% sure on that, but I definitely will look into that for sure.
You know, talking about the game itself, you know, the Anthony Ianson's gonna pitch. You know, this is always an interesting game because I think there's some teams that are gonna get cute, maybe try to treat it like a midweek game, and then save the higher leverage starter for the weekend game. Unless she's choosing not to do that, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I understand why people would think that they should just hold Ianson and Anderson back. and then throw whoever in this first game. But the one thing that you're risking in terms of that, other than, you know, the game itself, which, I mean, you, I guess you could make that argument, but it's not as strong as this. If you throw Ianson and Anderson on Saturday and Sunday, then you're throwing those guys on shorter rest in the Super Regional when you can, what you should probably be doing is keeping those guys on normal rest for when, if and when you move on to that next round. So keeping those guys on schedule is important. And also, like, you have the pitching depth to do this, right? This isn't a 2023 situation where there were questions around LSU's pitching depth. And I think just given the way, how strong this team is on the mound, I would be kind of surprised. I would have been pretty surprised if they didn't go the route that they're going toward today.
Koki, one thing we've talked about a ton is the offense of this Tiger team has been so much better at home this year. Just curious, though, overall, after that disappointing, you know, getting ousted in the SEC tournament, what has the mood and the vibe been around the players this week getting ready for the regional action?
Yeah, it's really just been a fresh start. It's a new season. It's the postseason. It's a regional at the box, right? And everything this team wants is still obviously in front of them. And I mean, obviously the offensive struggles that we saw at the end of the SEC tournament were concerning. But it shouldn't be too shocking either, just given the way that this team has struggled at the plate at times, especially in the second half of SEC play. So it's a very different team than 2023. The last time LSU was a regional host, and I mean, that team was fantastic at the plate, but really struggled on the mound, especially with their pitching depth outside of Paul Skeens and Ty Floyd. So now that you're looking at this season, it's the pitching's been a strength, but the offense is really not.
Yeah. So whenever this game does start, what can you give us kind of a primer on Little Rock? Like, what do you know of Little Rock? Because this is not a team that we're particularly familiar with.
Yeah, and it's a team that really, it's pretty amazing that they're even here. I mean, they lost 10 of 11 conference games heading into their conference tournament and only made their conference tournament on a tiebreaker for the eighth and final seed. And they had to win 5 games in 4 days to win the conference tournament. They do that, and they become the lowest seeded team in the Ohio Valley Conference tournament to ever win the tournament. So what they've done, they've been on this pretty magical run after having the season that was kind of in the toilet. You know, I mean, they finished their conference slate at 8-16. They're still, what, 6 games under 500, 24-32, I believe. And they have the lowest RPI among every team in the field. So by almost any measure, objective measure, they shouldn't be here. But, you know, when you win your conference tournament, that you earn the automatic bid, here they are. So, they're going to be throwing their number two today. So that's going to be fairly interesting to see. And then at the plate, they have a few pretty decent hitters. I think they have 5 guys with OPS over 800 this season. So, yeah, LSU has to play decently well, but I don't think I think they've only played 2 teams with a lower RPI than Little Rock so far this year. So it kind of gives you an idea of like the talent level, the talent disparity that's kind of on display today.
And Koki, you never want to overlook an opponent, and that's why Jay Johnson's throwing Anthony Ianson in tonight's game against Little Rock. But, you know, I wanted to go back to this week's and the pressers that you had with Jay and some of the players and some of the LSU reporters, yourself included, asking Jay about the Dallas Baptist draw. And once again, we don't want to overlook Little Rock and just kind of looking ahead to the other teams in the regional as well, but playing DBU basically a little over 3 months ago, I know that Jay kind of mentioned that it felt like a billion years ago or whatever, but some of the other guys like Anthony Ian said it was a good memory to kind of get a look at their bats a little bit. There's not too much you can take from it, but what are your thoughts on having played, you know, the 2-seed that's sitting in your regional?
Yeah, this is a pretty good team. And I mean, I got a decent look at him too earlier in the year when we were all at Arlington for that game. And they've got a lot of power. This is a very physical team. Grant Jay, the catcher, is one of the best catchers in all of college baseball. And, James Elwanger, they have some arms. They have some pretty interesting arms too. Michael Bucknum, former Tiger. So I think this is a very good team. And they definitely had the physicality to take advantage of the smaller park here. And, you know, but again, they also haven't faced LSU's better arms because that was a midweek game. So Connor Ware started that game, pitched really well for four innings. The only run he gave up was to the first hitter in the fifth, and then he came out. But yeah, if you look at, I think LSU should be favored to win this regional. They're as much of a favorite to win this regional as any team is a favorite to win their own. So, and that was a weird game though, the 7-3 game where it felt like LSU dominated the score more than that. It should have been more runs on the board, but for whatever reason, it was only 7-3. So, I don't know if LSU could hit anywhere near the level that they hit in that game. And they also say Ryan Borberg, who's been one of their better starters this year, they actually faced him in that game, and they hit him around pretty good. So if they can replicate that at all, they should be more than fine because of how good LSU's pitching has been this year.
Talking to Cokie Riley, who covers LSU baseball for the Times Picayune and the Advocate. And man, I know you're used to this already this season with how many weather delays you've dealt with LSU, but how do you pass the time at the box right now besides yapping with us?
Hanging out with my fellow writers, running into people, having some conversations, just, watching some college baseball, get some squeeze play on my laptop. That's a good question, but it's not easy. But you just sort of find a way, So
I recommend Boggle. I think Boggle would be a good way to pass the time. Go find someone.
Squeeze play is elite, Cokie. That's a great call out, by the way. Coach Rooney and the guys do a great job. And I'm keeping an eye on this Miami-Alabama game with Miami trying to close out Bama in the first game of the Hattiesburg Regional. My last question for you as well, Cokie, do you know anything about Rhode Island? I was doing a little bit of research into some of these teams in the Baton Rouge Regional, and Little Rock and Rhode Island had very similar ERAs as far as their pitching staff goes. I know that Rhode Island kind of has the higher-end ace that's got like around a 3 ERA, but then their team ERA is like 6.3, around the same that, Little Rock's is. And just want to get your thoughts on them as well as the 3 seed in the Baton Rouge Regional.
Yeah, Rhode Island really doesn't have much pitching depth to speak of. Their number two starter has been much better the last couple of weeks. So in case LSU faces them, which wouldn't surprise me because they're throwing the ace against DBU. Whenever that game's supposed to start, they're going to go with the ace. So that's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. But like Rhode Island's a really physical team. They're a good offensive team. I mean, this is the best team in the A-10 all year. Finished with a 22-8 record. Won the regular season conference title, won the conference tournament, but I kind of referenced with Little Rock being such a low team in RPI, Rhode Island's also the lowest team in RPI among all the 3 seeds. So LSU got a really, really good draw this weekend to get those two teams and to face a team in DBU that they've literally already beaten. So not to say that this regional is over, but it kind of gives you an idea of how favorable of a draw they got here. It's going to be interesting to see how that sort of shakes out. Like with this Rhode Island team, again, they've got a lot of power. Anthony DePino, third baseman, has 19 home runs this season. So I don't think Rhode Island is anything to sneeze. You can't just show up against Rhode Island. I don't think, at least just because their offense can take advantage of the park here.
Cokie, definitely appreciate you helping us burn some time as we wait for this game to get underway at the box. And hopefully it's not too late of an evening for you. Folks, please go check out his work at NOLA.com, all the great stuff he does covering LSU baseball. Thanks again, Cokie, man.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Cokie Riley covers LSU baseball and football for the Times Picayune and the Advocate. Like I said, go to NOLA.com. check out all his work there as he's covering this Tiger team in the regional action. We'll keep you up to date with the latest. We're still waiting to find out when this game between LSU and Little Rock will get underway. Meanwhile, we'll be talking more about NBA playoffs, Saints OTAs, and anything you have on your mind. Chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504-260-1870. We are taking a break and be back with more right after this on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back into Sports Talk. You heard there, too. Check out Inside Black and Gold, myself and Jeff Nowak, breaking down some stuff from Saints organized team activities, which we got to witness yesterday at the team's facility. Another round of OTAs begin next week, and then it'll be mandatory minicamp after that, where we get back-to-back-to-back viewing sessions. And definitely, you know, we're not anywhere close to training camp time, but at least we got some kind of football to talk about.
Yeah, I feel like every year there's less and less to talk about because the CBA becomes more and more stringent on, like, I feel like I remember 11-on-11 drills in OTAs previously, and now it's only 7-on-7s. But no, when you see how this process goes in the offseason, you start to understand more why. You know, when you, like, the first month of the NFL season is almost never indicative of how it's going to go overall. Like, because it takes a while for teams to really get their feet under them, because you don't really get a lot of actual work outside of training camp. And training camp's not that long. You know, like, you talk to Bobby, like, they used to do two-a-days, you know, padded practices every day. And now it's like you get like nine. So, and how do you, especially when you're in the Saints situation, like you're installing a new offense and a new defense, when do you do that? When do you actually get on the field to do that? Because it's like, this isn't that. You're not really, I mean, you're installing stuff, but not really. You're not repping anything.
Yeah, you mentioned that with Hebert. He said yesterday, too, it's like a day off. It was like 10 to 15 days before they got a day off.
Right. So, and I don't know if that's better or worse. It's definitely not better from a health perspective. And, you know, obviously head injuries is something you want to avoid. And so there's a lot based on that and the health. But, you know, it's one of the reasons it's hard to see the Saints having a lot of success this season is because of that. Because they're going to have to learn in real time a lot of this stuff and adapt in real time. And, you know, there's no getting around. It's only going to get less and less and less than it is right now. But it's like these last two OTAs, it's like, I mean, I'm not getting a ton out of this because they're not doing much.
We have a question about the cornerback room going into this season. We've even heard maybe some rumblings. The Saints could be interested in bringing in another body there, but a guy that's pretty entrenched as, I guess, the leader of that group now is Alante Taylor. We talked to him on draft night as well, but was available after the OTA viewing in after Thursday session in the Saints locker room. And here's a little bit of what Saints corner Alante Taylor had to say after his OTA workout.
How have you been fit into the new system? How are things going for you so far?
I think it's going pretty well. I'm kind of picking up on it pretty fast. I've watched a lot of tape, a lot of film. I've spent a lot of hours just kind of in the lab is what Staley would call it. But I think I'm doing pretty good.
Coach Moore said that your versatility, your ability to adapt, the speed that you have is going to be really helpful for this defense. How do you see your role?
I think my role is going to be pretty crucial. I think I'm going to help the defense out in many ways. I kind of get the feeling that I had going into my senior year at Tennessee when we had Coach Banks comes in and Coach Martinez comes in with the freedom that I have to kind of move around and just kind of play my game, and I kind of feel like a robot out there. So super excited about it.
How has it been so far working in Coach Staley's system? It hasn't been long. What was it like for you? How's it been working
on it? It's been fun. I've actually had a lot of fun playing in it. I've been able to, like I said, move around, kind of play my style of play. But once I kind of grasped the book and things like that, I've been able to just kind of freely play. So the playbook side of it, I've kind of like got an idea of how it wants to be played, and now I can kind of go out there and just use my style of play.
How grateful are you to the past 3 years just being able to play on the outside, being able to play on the inside, and now being able to put that into what you're doing now?
Super grateful. I feel like me playing inside has helped me a lot as far as the knowledge of the game, knowing where I need to be at. Kind of playing inside, playing outside, and having guys like Kool-Aid and Ike and, those guys come in and play on the outside of me, it feels good knowing like they know what they're supposed to do as well. So it kind of lets me play that freedom, right? And then we can kind of communicate and things like that. So, surrounded by some pretty good guys and guys who are going to allow me and kind of play free.
What are your overall impressions of Kellen Moore?
My impressions of him? Coach Moore is dope. I like him a lot. He's a young coach, but you can kind of see that as far as the energy that he brings into the team meetings and, kind of letting some of the guys pick, whatever music we're listening to going into the meetings and things like that. But I think a guy who's going to, I think this would be a good role for him. A guy who has experience, like you said, of like winning the Super Bowl last year, kind of just coming in and letting everybody have a clean slate. Nobody has any red marks on them right now. Everybody kind of can tell their own story about the way that they practice and the way that they come in the building every day. So that's super exciting.
Saints cornerback Alante Taylor, and man, oh man, going into year four for him, and has had to deal with a lot of moving around in the defense, and curious to see how Brandon Staley wants to implement him in his scheme.
Yeah, I do think one of the benefits of calling the nickel role the star is it's a lot easier to sell to people, right? Like, I feel like there's this, like, I want to be an outside corner. Hey, we need you in the nickel. What if you're the star?
And you're like, whoa, wait a minute.
That sounds pretty good. I like that.
I like the sound of that, right?
I like being the star. Because even I think there was a question in there where he was like, about being the star, and he took it as like the star cornerback. And I'm like, I am the star cornerback. I just think that's funny because whether that's intentional or not, I do think that it's going to be easier to sell to a guy like Alante. Like, you're the star. All right, I'm the star.
We're here on Sports Talk waiting to find out when LSU will finally get into action. Been in a holding pattern due to a weather delay. We'll have the latest for you when we get it. So we're taking a break, though, right now. Be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Well, folks, tomorrow's the day before the official start of hurricane season. Join Paul LaGrange for a special edition of the Home Improvement Show. They're live from Storm Prep 2025 at the Yenny Building in Elmwood. It's a hurricane preparedness expo presented by the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans. Learn how to stormproof your property and save money doing it. Protect your family, your business, and peace of mind. Don't miss Paul LaGrange and the Home Improvement Show at Storm Prep 2025 tomorrow. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the station that's got your back every hurricane season, WWL. Taking a break for the top of the hour news. Come back with more of Sports Talk as we're still in that holding pattern, waiting patiently to find out when the start time for LSU baseball will be. So we'll be having some more Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Be right back, folks. Who dat?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.